Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to the seventh article in my ongoing series entitled Wonderful Counseling. This podcast is entitled The Salvation of the Soul. Here's a most amazing and thought-provoking verse, and I read from Hebrews 10:14. For by a single offering, he, Jesus, has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. That's the English Standard Version. If you read my previous two articles, you probably deduced that if there are past and future aspects to our salvation, there must be a present component too. The verse above confirms this by referring to what Christ accomplished once for all in the past, our justification, to the ongoing work of God in the present, which many call sanctification or transformation. We are being sanctified on a daily basis, which basically means we are being set apart to God and His purposes. This involves a transformation of our character to become more and more like Christ. This is accomplished inside us as we cooperate with God's Spirit by faith. The goal of this transformation is obedience to God and His Word. In other words, our spirits, the innermost part of our being where we intuitively connect with God, already have been made perfect once for all. But we are also in the process of our souls, our mind, will, and emotions, being made more and more like Jesus on a day-to-day, even moment-by-moment basis. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect." That's the New English Translation. The soul consists of the mind, will, and emotions, what we call personality. Our daily battle against sin and the sin nature, the flesh or old man, is waged mostly in the mind. If the mind engages with temptation and the will caves to it, usually the body joins in to commit sin. Likewise, the desires of the natural body, which are often amoral in nature, test the mind and will to see if we will be faithful to God or not. We are tested every day to see if we will trust in the power of Christ's finished work and the promises of God, and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. God is teaching us to lean upon God's daily provision of grace to see us through. Philippians 1:6 says, "For I am sure of this very thing, that the one who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." That's the New English Translation. The God who justified us at Calvary when we were still enemies and helpless to save ourselves, Romans 5:8-11, also gives us daily grace to live for Him. The God who will raise us from the dead when we will be powerless to raise ourselves is also the one who daily pours out on us the benefits of grace through the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have little problem understanding that we could not deliver ourselves from the condemnation of sin. We also easily grasp that dead people are powerless to raise themselves from the dead. But it is usually not as clear to us that we are powerless to transform ourselves on a daily basis. This accounts for the plethora of self-help books on the market. We think we can save ourselves if we just try a little harder or learn some important key to success. But we cannot. Every part of our salvation depends on God. Nevertheless, we always have a part to play, especially in our daily transformation. God will not do for us what He assigned to us, but He comes alongside to help us do it. Romans 8:26. Learning to cooperate with God's Spirit in the transformation process is what the Bible calls walking in the Spirit. That's in Galatians 5:25. This is done by faith. If you want to read more about this amazing process, you can go to my series of articles entitled Living Free in the Spirit. Okay, what can we conclude? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." That's the NIV. Unless we understand the threefold nature of salvation, many scriptures will be confusing to us. God wants us to correctly handle God's word, and part of that involves determining whether the text refers to the spirit, the soul, or the body. Additionally, unless we understand that our spirits really do love God and want to serve Him, we may falsely believe that the real me is our old man, which can be translated the flesh, the part of us still linked to fallen humanity through the unresurrected body, and which is hostile to God and His ways. For us to experience true freedom, we must come to the realization that the real me is the recreated spirit man inside us. Paul wrote about this in Romans 7:16 through 25. I will leave that to you to search out. There is a huge conflict between our spirits and our flesh that we experience most every day. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh has desires that are opposed to the spirit, and the spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh. For these are in opposition to each other, so that you cannot do what you want." As a reminder, if we go back to Genesis 2:7, which is the verse that describes the creation of man, we see that our souls are formed by the combination of a spirit and body. I have shown that the spirit is made perfect through the new birth, but that the body still waits for perfection through the resurrection. Therefore, as I understand it, we have a built-in conflict in our souls. We have the spirit, which is part of the new creation, joined with the body, which is still part of the old creation. How could there not be a conflict? Paul uses the term flesh because I believe he wanted to make the link to the mortal, imperfect bodies in which we live. Our bodies are not evil, just imperfect and still affected by sin's curse via Adam. This is proved by the fact that people who are truly saved still die physical deaths. The combination of the imperfect body from the old creation with the perfect spirit of the new creation creates an inner conflict between the new nature and the old sin nature. It is crucial that we are able to distinguish and identify with the new creation part of us rather than with the imposter called the flesh, which is derived from the old creation but still tries to rule us. Paul makes it clear that through Christ's death and resurrection, the flesh's power has been rendered ineffective. It no longer has the right to dominate us. Romans 6:6 and Romans 6:14. From where then do we derive our true identity? Is it from the sin nature or the new nature? Paul answered this question decisively in Romans 7, 16 through 20. I'll leave that to you to read. The devil seeks to hound and condemn us for the sins we have committed and continue to commit, and for the evil desires that often still war in our souls. He continually tells us that we are no good. But Christ does not condemn us because he already took away our condemnation on the cross, John 5:24 and Romans 8:1. The new birth makes us new creations in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17. In the midst of our struggles with temptation and sin, the flesh, some of us may even begin to question whether or not we are genuinely saved. How could a true disciple have such evil desires and do such wicked things? If we're deceived by such thinking, lapse into unbelief regarding the efficacy of Christ's finished work and the Spirit's ongoing work, the basis for our experiencing by faith the victory over the power of bondage through Christ's finished work is removed. We must see ourselves as God sees us. A finished product, complete in Christ, delivered from condemnation, free from sin's power to rule us, victorious over our enemies, and able to walk in the Spirit. We must believe what the Bible says about us, even if our current experience does not yet line up with it. Freedom from condemnation liberates us to live by faith in the finished work of Christ, which opens the door to the Holy Spirit's daily transformation process. God's word alone is the foundation for faith, not our experience or what we logically derive from our experiences. This is vital if we're to live out the freedom that is ours in Christ. Who we really are is who we are in Christ. God wants us to base our current faith walk with God on what Christ has done in the past and what God has promised to do in the future. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We stand in faith by grace today because of what Christ finished long ago. Likewise, our motivation to press forward in obedience to God is also rooted in the future because we have a sure hope of resurrection. We have a strong motivation to live a holy life. 1 John 3, 2 and 3 says, dear friends, we are God's children now, but what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that whenever it is revealed, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope focused on him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. That's the New English Translation. In summary, then, understanding and believing the doctrine of body, soul, and spirit is vital to our experiencing true freedom in Christ. God's truth sets us free.